This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is a special edition of Faith in Action. Neither Jim nor Bridget are here, but I am Corky Aiken, here with Gordon Smith.
Hello!
And this is a special edition because we were granted the special favor by the Knights of Columbus Council down at St. Elizabeth's Seton in Carmel to listen and actually record an exemplification. An exemplification is where new members become third-degree knights, and it's a special deal. Now, Gordon, you're not a knight.
I am not.
What's your impression of the Knights of Columbus, briefly, from the outside looking in?
Well, I've always loved everything the Knights stand for. I imagine going in front of many parishes and seeing a little tombstone for the unborn, and I just 100% appreciate everything the Knights do and stand for. I also, speaking from the EWTN standpoint, they sponsor the nightly news every night nationally, and that is so cool. Thank you, Knights of Columbus, for that.
And Gordon isn't a knight by choice. It's just the parish he belongs to doesn't have a council right now. I understand that might change. But in any event, Knights of Columbus councils are open to any parishioner anywhere who can show up and become a regular attendee. You don't have to go to the meetings. You just show up once or twice a year, help with the fish fries, do what you want to do.
Are you sure they'd take me?
I would vouch for you, I promise.
Okay, thank you, Corky.
Because I am a past Grand Knight myself from Council 14476, St. Michael the Archangel up in Cicero, Indiana, at the Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish there. I've been involved in the Knights for about 4 years now, and I can tell you it is one of the most rewarding experiences you could ever have. As a man who wants to get involved in your parish and who wants to just simply become charitable and make friends around you with like-minded Catholic men. And as we'll hear in the program, there's a lot of things that go on in principles that happen. And so without any further ado, we're going to listen to an exemplification of the Knights of Columbus.
Reverend Father, Brother Knights, and friends, welcome to this exemplification of charity, unity, and fraternity. Let us stand and begin with prayer. Father.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God our Father, you so loved the world that you sent us, your only Son, to suffer, die, and rise for us, and for our salvation. Give us the grace to daily encounter our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith, and so come to know in our lives the power of his love. Let us find in his cross the strength to rise above our sins and to be confirmed in virtue, so that we may live our vocations faithfully and accomplish our work with integrity. Unite us, Lord, in the fraternity of the Knights of Columbus as we bear witness to Christ, serving the needs of others in charity and keeping the commandments in the spirit of the Beatitudes. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. By founding the Knights of Columbus in 1882, Father Michael McGivney sought to establish a fraternal order whose members lived the Christian virtues by means of the principles of charity, unity, and fraternity. He sought to unite members in their Catholic identity as practical Catholics, that is, Catholics who accept the teaching authority of the Church on matters of faith and morals, who aspire to live in accordance with the precepts of the Catholic Church, and who are in good standing with the Catholic Church. By your presence here today, you pledge that this is your understanding and intention in joining the Knights of Columbus. At the time of our founding, Catholics in America faced discrimination and bigotry. Many immigrants were challenged by a hostile society that considered them outsiders and incapable of full citizenship. Often these Catholics were tempted to abandon their faith and the sacraments. The father was the family's primary wage earner, and with no social support network available, frequently his untimely death was a catastrophic event. His widow and children faced financial ruin and the breakup of their family, removed from the family's home, children often found themselves removed from the family's faith. Yet in the face of these challenges, Father McGivney was determined to find a way to strengthen the faith and families of his fellow Catholics. Father McGivney's vision established our organization of local councils whose members sought to strengthen their faith, to serve the needs of others, and to protect their families through our insurance program. The first members of our order chose the name Columbus to emphasize that from the earliest days of European exploration of America, Catholics had played an essential role. Christopher Columbus was a revered hero in the 19th century who inspired the names of cities throughout the United States, including the nation's capital, as well as a province in Canada and a nation in Latin America. Those early knights recognized Christopher Columbus not only as an explorer of extraordinary skill and daring, but as a layman committed to bringing the good news of the gospel to the New World. Our founding members chose to be called knights in recognition of the historic mission of Christian knights. Men who led lives of virtue, defended the faith, and served those in need. In medieval times, when Christian knights took up arms and put on their armor, they understood that they were putting on the armor of our Lord, Jesus Christ, in order to serve a higher calling. A knight was committed the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. He was willing to sacrifice himself for others, especially the poor and the vulnerable. Although times have changed, this higher calling has not. Today, we do not put on armor made by fire and forge, but we are still called to put on the armor of Christ. We are called, as St. Paul tells us, to stand firm, with integrity as a breastplate, carrying the shield of faith, wearing salvation as a helmet, and carrying the word of God as a sword. Our church is still in need of men dedicated to this mission. Men willing to be the strong right arm of the church. The Knights of Columbus is a brotherhood in service to the Catholic Church, bound together by our principles of charity, unity, and fraternity. For Knights of Columbus, these principles find their origin and meaning in the Holy Eucharist. United to Christ in the Eucharist, we go forth seeing Christ in each other and in those we serve. Now listen to the lesson on charity.
Gentlemen, the first and foremost principle of our order is charity, the greatest of all virtues and the crowning glory of a Christian life. But the true meaning of charity is often lost today. It is not merely a feeling, nor is it solely a gift of time, talent, or treasure. It is more than almsgiving. It is more than good works. The greatest act of charity the world has ever known is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who freely and willingly offered himself for us on the cross. Christ's redeeming love is the true measure of charity. Charity is a heart that sees Christ in our neighbor. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can, like Christ, make a sincere gift of ourselves to others. Charity is the virtue that gave rise to chivalry. It is the essence of knighthood. A Christian knight without charity was regarded as unworthy of his high calling. Charity is that priceless gift placed by God in the human soul to measure a man's allegiance to his Creator. Charity is a duty, not a courtesy. It is an obligation imposed by heaven upon rich and poor alike. Charity moves the heart to comfort and console, advise and instruct, bear and forgive. In God and with God, we love even those we do not know. This is the charity that evangelizes. This is the charity that gladdens the heart.
Charity is our authentic witness to God through our good works. Charity is stronger and a greater service to the community when we are united. Listen now to the lesson on unity.
Gentlemen, to be a Knight of Columbus means that you possess unity in purpose and unity in action, which come from our shared Catholic faith and the grace of the Holy Spirit. It is appropriate that unity follow our first principle of charity, as charity binds together everything in perfect harmony. The unity of our order is founded in the sacred unity of our church, which arises from the unity of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our unity expresses our belief in the Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father to us all. The principle of unity is first experienced at home. Marriage is a unique and irreplaceable sign of God's love for His church. The faithfulness and fruitfulness of married love is the foundation of the family. And the Christian family is an icon of the loving communion within the Blessed Trinity. Brother knights and their families encourage one another to establish loving homes that cultivate virtue and holiness. In a divided world, where many find it difficult to truly encounter God, Knights of Columbus families live their faith, fulfill their mission, and evangelize the world. History offers countless examples of small groups of men who surmounted overwhelming odds because they were joined together by a common purpose. It is not the size of the army that victory depends, since our strength comes from heaven. Christ calls us to unity with him and with each other. To increase unity in our church and our families is one of the great missions of the Knights of Columbus. Our order prays and works to bring about the unity our Lord wills for his church and for our families. When we stand united, our order is a force for the defense of our faith, our families, and one another. Jesus told his disciples, "Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing." Now we will impress upon you the strength men possess when united in pursuit of a common purpose. Now observe, when individual fibers are bound together, they become a strong cable. As the fibers are to the cable, so are you to our order. The strength of any cable depends upon the quality of the fibers and their perfect union. Dedicated to the principle of unity, we pray with our Lord that his followers may all be one.
Long ago, Father McGivney proposed an ideal model of unity for the Catholic men of his parish. He envisioned a fraternal brotherhood, Catholic men supporting each other and their families, united in Christ and building up his body. His vision continues today as his order works to strengthen Catholic families and parishes. Listen now to the lesson on fraternity.
Gentlemen, a Knight of Columbus is a man of integrity, takes responsibility for his actions. He is also a man for others. He guards and protects those under his care. He stands united with his brothers, and with them he puts his faith into action. A Knight of Columbus is called to fraternal charity with his brother knights, and he is called to fraternal unity with them. Psalm 133 proclaims how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together as one. United by baptism and the Eucharist, Knights of Columbus stand ready as brothers to bear one another's burdens. When there is a spiritual or material need, we assist one another by prayer, counsel, and practical support. Our Lord calls us to live in fraternal communion and to encourage one another. We follow the counsel of St. John the Evangelist, who told us, "Whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother." Our bond of fraternity is not merely a lofty principle. It is a way of life of a steadfast Knight of Columbus, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. It is the responsibility of every Knights of Columbus Council to be an exemplary model of Catholic fraternity. In times past, a candidate for knighthood spent the eve of his knighting in a church, upon his knees, placing his sword and shield before the altar of the King of Kings, his Lord and God. Today, Knights of Columbus continue to serve this same King, Christ the King, truly present in the Eucharist. While founded as an organization of Catholic laymen, our order has always had a special relationship with our priests. We owe our very existence to the vision and determination of one parish priest, Father Michael J. McKivney, whose heroic virtue continues to inspire us today. The Knights of Columbus was, is, and always shall be a brotherhood in solidarity with the priests whose ministry makes Christ present to us in the Eucharist.
You have heard that the virtue of charity is the guiding principle of our order. You have heard that there is strength when men work in unity for a common cause. You have heard that fraternity is an abiding fellowship with Christ and your brother knights. As Catholic, we know that death does not have the final word. Our fraternal greeting is Vivat Jesus, which means may Jesus live. With this greeting, we recognize one another as brother knights, and we profess the hope by which we are saved. The perpetual watchword of our order is Tempus Fugit, Memento Mori, which means time flies, remember death. We must remain vigilant, for we know not the day nor the hour when we will be called to give an account of our life. We must prepare for our death spiritually, and it is our duty to protect those who have been entrusted to us by God, to be good stewards and to safeguard their future. The financial protection of our families remains fundamental to Father McGivney's vision and the mission of the Knights of Columbus. To profess your commitments to our principles, I now ask our candidates and all the brother knights here present to rise.
You're listening to Faith in Action on Catholic Radio Indy, and we'll be back after this short break.
Across America, there are quiet heroes changing lives every day. When disaster strikes, they lend support. They give hope to those in need, warmth to the cold, and help to those society ignores. Over the past decade, they have given more than $1.5 billion and 700 million hours to charity. When it comes to making a difference, the Knights of Columbus are on the front lines. Become a Knight and be the difference. Learn more at KOFC.org.
Wheels keep turning. Time keeps ticking. The wise keep learning. God keeps teaching. Use your moments. Learn well. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to this special edition of Faith in Action. We're listening to a Knights of Columbus exemplification where new members become third-degree knights, which then allows them to become officers of their councils and opens other opportunities to them. We've heard the lectures on charity, unity, and fraternity, which are the three pillars on which the Knights of Columbus is built, and now we're going to hear the final vows and the acceptances of the promises which complete the exemplification.
Candidates and brother knights, raise your right hand and respond, "I do," to the following questions. Do you promise to conduct yourself as a Catholic gentleman, to live your life guided by the principles of charity, unity, and fraternity?
I do.
As a practical Catholic, do you promise to continue to form yourself in the Catholic faith, to live in accord with the precepts of the Catholic Church, and to participate in its sacramental life, especially through attendance at Sunday Mass?
I do.
Do you promise to promote the well-being of your brother knights and to support the mission and activities of your council?
I do.
Having reviewed and signed the constitutional roll, do you promise to obey the laws, rules, and lawful authority of the order?
I do.
Gentlemen, your promises are hereby accepted. Please lower your hand and be seated. Now let us invoke the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
As Knights of Columbus, we turn always to the gentle and glorious Virgin Mary, our Queen and our Mother. The Order is entrusted to the protection of the Blessed Mother under her title, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mary's love encircles us, drawing us closer to her Divine Son. Under the mantle of her protection, we take up her rosary. Mary, Mother of God, with her knights, for the sanctity of human life in all its stages. Mary, Heart of the Holy Family, with her knights, for faithful marriages and joyful families. Mary, the Immaculate Conception, with her knights, for decency and purity in the world. Mary, to whom her Son would refuse nothing, with her knights, for justice and compassion for the downtrodden and all those who suffer. Her Holy Rosary in our hands, going where we go, the salutation, Hail Mary, ever on our lips. What challenges can we not face? What victories can we not achieve?
I invite our investing officer, David Gregg, district deputy, forward to invest you with a rosary and the emblem of the order. Gentlemen, please stand. Put your hands in such form.
Carry it always and pray it as often as you can.
Gentlemen, we will now receive the emblem of the order.
Wear it always with pride, dignity, and honor.
My brother knights, we welcome you as third degree members of our order with all the responsibility, rights, and privileges accruing thereto. You may place your rosary in your pocket and be seated. Brother knights, remember that the saints did not conquer nations by the sword, but by prayer and good works. Members of our order have been raised to the honors of the altar as saints and blesseds. The world continues to need saints. And the Knights of Columbus offers each of us today the opportunity to live a life of heroic virtue through the grace of the Holy Spirit. We have witnessed the promises you have made here today. Let them challenge you to live your life from this day forward, holding fast to our principles of charity, unity, and fraternity, so that on the last day your souls, filled with happiness, may enjoy the reward of a life well spent, an eternity in the presence of God Himself. Please stand for the closing prayer.
Prayer for the canonization of Father McGivney speaks to our mission as Knights of Columbus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and orphan, you called your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of Christian family life and to lead the young to a generous service of their neighbor. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the church. The inspiration of your servant prompt us to a greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask that you glorify your venerable servant, Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favors we now present. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Please join me in congratulating our newly invested third-degree Knights of Columbus with a round of applause.
So that is an exemplification at, this one was at St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel. They're all pretty much the same because the principles of charity, fraternity, and unity are universal to the Knights. But Gordon, you were able to sit in and watch this when we recorded it. And as somebody who is not a Knight, what were your impressions?
Well, it was very formal. It was very impressive. And I was particularly interested in the pillars you mentioned just now, that they stressed the manliness of the actions that we should be doing to protect women and children, right?
Exactly. And that's what the fraternity was founded by Father McGivney to do back in the late 20th century. You know, a father would be killed at work and his wife and his kids would have no one to look after. And God charges us as the men of his church to look after widows and orphans, to protect women and children. And while those values may be under attack today from the enemy and his minions, we must, as Catholic men, re-strengthen it and re-gird our loins to do this.
Men must stand up and be valiant to all the forces in society, and that's something that's sadly lacking in the last 40 or 50 years, right, Corky?
That's a good word, valiant, because that was what described a knight back in those days. They were valiant, they were brave, they were chivalrous, and those are the qualities that have been stripped from our society, or at least attempted to, but the Knights of Columbus is standing strong.
God bless them.
I would now like to introduce the members of the exemplification team, starting with myself. My name's Jerry Neuner. I've been a Knight since, 24 years. I'm a founding member of the council here, 12387. I'm married with three children and three grandchildren right now, one and away.
Hi, I'm Dave Belt. Been a Knight for nearly 40 years and active in this council for about the last four. We have three sons and five grandchildren.
I'm Tim Elshire. I'm a fourth-degree Knight. I've been a Knight for 35 years, and I'm married with 10 kids. I'm here at Seton, and I've been here, I think, for 20 years.
I'm Sir Knight Walt Gillespie, fourth-degree Knight, commander of the Honor Guard and Color Guard. I'm a member here at Council 12387. I've been for about 15 years. I'm married 61 years. I'm 81. I'm 81. Okay. Have four sons, six grandchildren, and the last count, seven great-grandchildren.
My name's Dave Gregg. I'm the district deputy. I play the role of the investing officer. The district is made up of five councils here: St. Louis de Montfort, St. John Vianney, Our Lady of Grace, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I provide guidance to all five of those councils. I go to church at Holy Spirit of Geist. I'm married with two daughters that I adopted from Ethiopia. You know, always love coming here.
I'm Juan Gonzalez. This is day one for me. I'm a late bloomer as I'm learning. My profession is obviously I'm a developer of construction. I've been doing that for over 20 years. I've traveled the world. I've spent time in a lot of countries all over the world, anywhere from the Middle East, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, South America, Central America, all of North America. So a lot of experience. I'm hoping to learn a lot about you guys as you get to learn about me.
I'm Josh Marasini. I have three kids, no grandkids, because they're too young for that. I'm married and I have a lovely wife. Her and I own a business together, so we spend a lot of time with each other, which is great. And I live in Carmel. It's a fantastic city to live in.
Hello, my name is Matt DiCapua, and I've been a member of Seton for about 5 years or so. I have two sons that are college age, and I've been married for 30 years to my lovely wife. Maybe I'll get credit for that when she's not here. And as a career in my occupation, I work in IT cybersecurity, and I've always been fascinated with the Knights. My father has been a Knight over the years, and I heard some very interesting stories from the lodge that he was a member of. I'm looking forward to getting to know each and every one of you.
So there you have it, just regular guys like you and me.
putting on their trousers one leg at a time, right, Corky?
Absolutely. And if you heard someone that sounds like you, then you could become a knight too. You put on the armor of God, just like the fellow next to you in the pew, and you go out and you do what's supposed to be done.
In doing so, you become a real man, protecting women and children, just like the knights are charged to do.
And speaking of real men, we were able to hear the exemplification of somebody who very much fits that bill, I think.
Father Anthony Jean Baptiste. He is currently stationed at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and he is a pastor from Haiti.
I'm Father Anthony Jean-Baptiste from Haiti. I've been in the U.S. for 1 year and a half, and I'm working in this parish for 7 months, and I've been ordained 11 years, for 11 years. I'm glad to be with you. I was pastor in Haiti at Our Lady of Fatima Parish in Pétionville, and February the 20th, I escaped a kidnapping. The day after, I left the country. That's why I am in the U.S. Because when I just arrived in my parish in 2017, I had a lot of robberies. And I complained to the police station. They arrested a man inside of my church. And a few days after, this man had his freedom, and in 2020, he became a gang's leader. And since when he needed revenge. But I'm not the only priest who have persecution in Haiti. It is not safe now. A lot of priests have problem in Haiti. They kill some of them, some of us. We lose priests in Haiti. It is like a religious persecution, but it's because of the gangs. So if you denounce the gangs, you can have problem. It's tricky. It's a big persecution in Haiti against everybody. No one is safe in Haiti for now.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Brigid. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Brigid at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.